Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 73 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
All right, so announcements this week. Y'all, there's a lot going on this week. We do not have time to cover everything that came out this week because it was a lot. However, I think first and foremost we should announce, I'm sure everyone knows, but Outlander won favorite sci-fi fantasy television series at the People's Choice Awards. A lot of people were disappointed that they never got to see Kate and... Kate, is it Kate or Kat? I'm bad.
I think it's better as Katrina.
I know. I just can't help it. It's just... I don't know. Okay, Katrina. Katrina and Sam did not go on the stage to accept their award that we saw, at least. So I know a lot of people were disappointed about that. But I'm more excited that we won. I say we, like I was part of it. But
well, the show won.
Yes. And Sam himself posted a selfie from the People's Choice Awards to have them in the audience holding said People's Choice Award, looking very excited. They also attended the BAFTAs in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles version of the BAFTAs.
Or at least the T. I'm not sure if...
But generally when I think of BAFTAs, I think it's a London-based thing. So this is the American version of the BAFTAs. Is that what that is?
I wouldn't say version. It's just Instagram account that the photo came from was BAFTA LA, BAFTA Los Angeles. So,
but don't they have like two BAFTA events now? One in like...
They may.
Like two award ceremonies? I don't know.
I do not know.
Which would be silly because all the same people are nominated for all of them anyway. So, but a picture of them at the tea and each of them looking very aristocratic, holding their tea. Stars released several new photos. Now, this is big because this means there's going to be a lot of fun new memes going around. Because I know...
Hopefully Stars comes up with a few too.
I know. Well, we've been seeing a lot of the same picture with granted, new verbiage on the actual meme. But this will be exciting because it's all new stuff. But I will say that seeing Sam... And I won't say Sam because it's Jamie in this photo. But seeing Jamie in pants really bothers me. I don't know why, but he should be in a kilt. Like, he looks weird. You think he looks weird?
I don't think he looks weird. If someone says Jamie and I think of Sam, the actor playing Jamie, and his image pops in my head, I definitely imagine a kilt. But there's nothing wrong with this photo. It does not bother me in the least. Because Jamie, look, in France... Well, no, I think he wears a kilt in France, too.
He does.
But he does wear... He wears lots of stuff.
I know. And further along the series, he does
pretty much
wear a lot of pants. However, it's not strange for me to see Sam in pants, but for whatever reason.
Maybe breeks because the Brits' pants are underwear. So,
But for me, seeing the character in long pants or breeks, whatever you want to call them, is very weird and jarring.
Well, until you get used to it. And we haven't seen him in breeks yet.
And we shouldn't because he has nice legs.
But he looks just fine in breeks.
But there were lots of photos. There's one of... Well, this is the first time we see Jenny not in a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks very... I don't know that... I don't know. It doesn't bother me. Bother me is a really strange word, but for to choose for that. Because it doesn't really bother me. But for me, that hairdo is so...
Severe
for Jenny that it... For me, it doesn't fit. But that's just not what I've been imagining, especially since the last time we saw her hair was thrown out and down. However, she was being accosted and there was an attempted rape going on, however. And she was younger.
She was younger, and now she's a married woman.
I know, but it's such a stark contrast to Claire having her hair, like, unbound.
Yeah, but that's actually very symbolic as well because Claire does not really fit the image of the straight-laced Highland lady.
I know, but so, they're of a similar age. I feel like, wasn't Claire trying to assimilate at one point?
I don't know if assimilate is ever it. She does her best to do more and be in the time, if not of the time. But I don't know if assimilate is ever a word in her mind because she just doesn't. She's not.
It should have been because things would have been a lot smoother for her had she just tried to assimilate, generally. We also got a new shot of Dougal. And
he's a wackadoo. Is he upset? Well,
he's looks like he's about to...
Cut the candles.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I don't think he's... aiming for the candles, but this image gives that impression that he's like, F these candles! A new picture of Gellis. Her's just kind of leaning.
My caption would be, Yes, I am leaning back because this corset is so tight. And I'm just going to observe you in this position because it's much more comfortable. Carry on.
Well, I mean, for the book readers, we all know what's going on underneath that corset. It's probably more than that. And then there's also a shot of Blackjack.
Through the window.
Through the window. I'm wondering if this is Jamie's POV before, oh. Probably.
Well, because, okay, right there, right? Okay, say it's Jamie.
Or it could be Claire's later.
Maybe, but, oh, that's true. Oh, Lord. Uh-oh. Look behind. There's like the iron gate.
Jails,
like yes, jail it looks cells. Like a jail wall, a jail cell door in the background, which only makes me think of.
Wentworth?
Yes. Girlfriend, stop it.
You stop it.
You stop it. Mm-mm. Okay, I want to say this one. Mr. Hewen, we know you've been very giving and interactive with fans, but it's about darn tootin' time that you have an official Facebook page. This should have happened about 13 or 14 months ago.
Right.
Or longer. I mean,
you know what, though? I will say that
Facebook pages take a lot more
upkeep.
They do. They totally take a lot more upkeep for whatever. Because you're not, you can be long-winded. You can do all kinds of stuff. Whereas with Twitter, it's just like 140 characters. Call it a day. I just think there's a lot more commitment involved with the Facebook page.
I understand what you're saying. I do disagree. The reason I disagree is because you can be as long-winded or as short-winded as you want in a post, right? Mm-hmm. And you can post once a day. You don't have to do on the, you know, and of course, someone of, like Diane, although Diana will kind of, will comment in some of the comments on her posts sometimes. So she does, or she can, and she does. I just have a feeling Sam will likely not do much commenting on his page. I presume, and I could be wrong, that he would post to his page. But I don't know if he would be replying to people's comments because I think that's probably not the best idea.
Well, my impression is that he's probably going to connect his Twitter and his Facebook and do them all at the same time.
That would be... And see, that's even,
not everyone's
that's even
on Twitter.
Lower. That's even lower.
And not everyone's on Facebook.
That's even less work. So that's what I'm saying, is you can make it more work. You can make it less work. And if you just do, like, kind of like we do, if we just do, like, the odd post on Facebook, or share. I can see him. I can see him posting stuff and sharing stuff on Facebook. But if he links his accounts, then that's great. He doesn't have to do it twice. And then I would guess that he would be, whatever he wants to do or whatever his schedule would allow, that he would continue to do, to some extent, the back and forth and some interaction on Twitter. I can't see that stopping, but again, we could be wrong. But I definitely think that this is good because we know from different things we've done, different kind of quick and dirty contests on Twitter, that people on Facebook, you know, have said that they don't have Twitter and they don't tweet. And so I think it's actually, again, this should have been done over about a year and a half ago or more, because a lot of people are interactive on Facebook and, you know, on the Outlander site, on, and some of the characters, I don't think Katrina has a fan page yet, or I should say an official page yet.
Right.
I could be wrong, but we haven't seen it. So welcome to Facebook, Mr. Hewen. I'm sure you went from like zero to a gajillion within like 15 minutes.
I'm sure. Also this week, there was the Winter TCA tour that Diana, Ron, and Sam and Katrina were a part of. And there's an entire transcript of their talk available online in several places. But I think we've linked to Outlander TV News' transcript.
They did another great job with bringing all these things together. Thank you, all of you lovely ladies. And I don't mean of the lame is kind.
Whoa.
Unless you are, and then it's none of our business.
Okay.
We don't judge.
No. And then back to the People's Choice Awards for a moment. They also posted a picture after the win of Sam and Katrina holding a sign in Gaelic. And, I mean, do you want to try to pronounce it? I won't.
I'm not there yet.
You should have practiced that.
I'm learning Gaelic, but I did not practice this phrase.
Oh, my God. Where's Agav when you need him? Yeah, I'm not going to try. I could totally like butcher this, but I'm not going to because
if you read hospital when there's no S in the French, hôpital,
that's
which is no, because your English is coming out. Your brain puts it there. I get it. And there's nothing wrong with that. What I'm trying to say is if you have trouble with the word hôpital, I don't think you're going to get the Gaelic either. And I studied it a tiny bit. I'm not even going to go there. It's not going to happen.
Whatever.
I'm not going to embarrass myself more than I need to.
Apparently, Canada is going to be releasing Outlander in two chunks. Season 1,
well,
part,
okay.
Volume 1,
I wouldn't
and
say,
Season 1, Volume 2.
I wouldn't
two.
Say Canada is going to be doing this. I would say
at least in Canada is what it says.
There's a possible release date for the DVD for season one, volume one of Outlander. So regardless of where it's at, we can kind of see that this might be their MO, right? They're going to do season one, volume one, season one, volume two. But yes, it is at this time just for Canada.
For the record, I would like to say that from a marketing standpoint, Starz knocked this out of the park. As a fan, making me wait from October to April is maddening. However, from a marketing standpoint for the channel, they're thinking not everyone's going to go through the trouble of turning off Starz and then remembering to turn it back on in April. So they're actually getting 6 more months of subscribers out of the series than they would have normally. Because a lot of people who are just fans of the books might have turned it off after the season.
And something else that is may not have been part of that strategy, but something else that it allows it to do, at least for a lot of countries, and I know Germany included, maybe not the UK because we don't know a start date yet for them. Nothing has been announced. But having such a long hiatus also allows the other countries that do get it after us, not that they're going to all get it on August 5th, the second half, but at least if they're caught up by the time it airs here in the U.S., and they just lag behind a little bit.
Can you imagine being that country who has it seamlessly, episode 1 to episode 16?
That's funny.
Week to week.
Well, that I don't know. And that would be interesting.
I mean, it would have to be somebody who picks it up basically in the next month or two.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, not just that, but I don't know that Starz or...
So come on, let's make it happen for the UK.
I don't know that... That
I could say let's, but I can't do anything about it. But that would be awesome if the UK, having had to wait this long, picked it up and got to watch the entire 16 episodes.
But what I'm saying is, I don't know that even if the timing worked out well, that they would get it directly following us. They may take the biggest hurdle, I think, is probably to purchase the rights or purchase the show for a channel in whatever country, right? Mm-hmm. And once it's there, they either do the dubbing or not, which takes a little more time, or they just show the show as it is, right? That's the first chunk, as I understand it. After that, the countries that have it that have already showed it aren't showing anymore because they don't have anymore because it hasn't been aired in the U.S.
Right.
After it's aired in the U.S., then it can be shown in those countries. My question is, I don't know if there would be a delay. I don't think it would be 2 months, but it might be they may have it. I just don't know because there was a delay in the beginning. There may not be that kind of delay now because the groundwork is already laid. So we don't know. That'll be interesting to follow along.
And I mean, to build on the TCA panel, not only do they have a transcript, but there's more of a Twitter recap kind of following all the tweets that kind of were thrown out during the TCAs. That's also on Outlander TV News if you wanted to check that out as well. Any of note that you want to mention?
Not individual tweets, but something that I believe it was Chris Albrecht from Starz that said something, and I am not quoting him here, but this is paraphrasing, something along the lines of, they could imagine Outlander being around for a long time. And again, no promises made, no announcements made, but the feel that I got was, not only are we going to get, obviously, Brianna and Roger, but didn't someone say that they could imagine doing all the books? I swear I read that.
I don't know if they did, but I can. I personally can imagine doing all the books. In fact, I think they should.
Could you imagine we'd be 10 years older?
Oh, my God.
That would be sad. Not sad, but that would be...
I know. Wow. The only thing that would concern me about that actuality is the fact that we got less episodes for season two.
Fewer, yeah.
So, and if that was a trend that continued, the books only get longer.
I can't see it being a trend that continues, meaning we get fewer and fewer. I don't think you go fewer than 13-ish. But it may not grow back up to a higher number. But I'm leaving that for Starz. We're happy it's on the screen in our home.
Oh, for sure.
Tubes.
For sure.
Okay, first of all.
Okay, stop. Just stop. I'm going to start. I know that we mentioned the People's Choice Awards like from the beginning, but let's all put it out there that the biggest news of the week is the new trailer.
That just won't quit.
Oh, my God. Like, seriously, there's so much going on in this trailer that if you haven't seen it slowed down, you're missing it out. You're missing out
on
so much
stuff. It's 7 minutes, though, because it's a long trailer.
The first quarter of the trailer, not the intro to the trailer, is recap. So once you get past all the recap, this is what happened that you've already seen. It's like, boom, here's all your new crap.
Jamie, I like you too, but wait. When we saw Jenny with Claire, Summer, was it just them talking or were they in the woods?
when he says, you're tearing my heart out, you're my guts out?
Oh, Jenny. They were in the woods. They were outside.
Yeah. No, they haven't shown those two ladies together at Lollybrock.
So it's on their hunt. So if it was them, the hunt for her. Yeah.
Oh, well, no, when she got, when you see Claire go, where's Jamie? Well, when she stands there and she's like, where's Jamie? You're like, you know where he is.
Who's that?
Claire does. Claire says that because you know it's because it's leading up to the whole Wentworth debacle. Can we call it a debacle?
I'm going to call it a debacle,
even though it's not really a debacle. Though it would have been nicer if it never happened.
The Wentworth
incident?
Backdoor incident?
Backdoor. You had to go way more descriptive than me. I was just going to say incident.
She goes out. She's pushed out the back door. That's all I'm saying.
You are, like, daring me to, like, continue
to
with
go
that.
More? No, yeah. Don't. I'm just saying. We had an episode called Backdoors. That's all I'm saying.
We did.
So what were the highlights for you? Obviously, when I saw Claire, I was like, okay, first of all, back away. Sorry, I may not literally just take a step back. Did you have any tears?
No.
So you're just a hard
I'm cold. A robot.
You're a hard cold bitch.
I'm a robot.
A hard cold bitch robot.
Well, as long as you put robot on the end.
I'm just kidding.
As long as robot's the last
okay,
word.
Okay, so after this trailer, then I would never have necessarily ever called you a robot, but now I think you're probably right.
No.
I did not bawl, but girl, I had tears at different points. No way.
I didn't cry. But I did get excited, and I had feelings.
We don't need to hear about those parts.
No. I'm saying I had feelings. There were feels. Like, I could see, like, every little flash image they shot out, I'm like, oh, that's that. Oh, that's that.
When
oh,
she says, that. Where's... Me too. When she says, where's Jamie? Is it when she's up against the red coat? Like that with a knife or something?
No.
Oh.
I think
or
that...
Or does she have a gun? Who has a gun?
To me... No, I think that was a different scene altogether. Okay. I don't know if that was a scene when... But she was definitely surrounded by people in that scene. There are lots of other individuals in that scene. But there's... I mean,
There's so much.
There's
what I'm
so
saying.
Much
we
left.
We need to, like, turn it on so we just can see it. Is not watch it, but just, like, pause it. The biggest points. Oh, okay. Hold on. You started
okay,
it.
Okay. Well, then let's do this.
You're ripping my guts out.
You're ripping my guts
Claire,
out. Claire.
The way he didn't say you're ripping my guts out, Claire. He said you're ripping my guts out, Claire. The way he clipped every single of those final words. Oh, my. I didn't think it could be more effective.
Okay. Well, let's take a momentary
Holy
pause.
Crap.
And the pause to you will feel like seconds. But in those seconds, we are going to watch the trailer again. And we're back. Wasn't that quick? Anyway. So the things that we talked about, the scene where claiming.
I blame you.
You can blame me. That's my fault.
But it's your fault for saying it.
I know.
But yes, you did not start that.
No. The scene where.
Stop it.
Oh, man. The scene where Claire says, where's Jamie, is the scene where Ian comes back by himself.
Oh, gosh. At Lollybrock.
At Lollybrock.
Yeah.
And then they have the other scene where Claire is holding a red coat at gunpoint, and I'm pretty sure if I'm looking correctly, it looked like it was her and Jenny with them trying to figure out what's going on and
all kinds of hints about Galus and her interestingness. Of course, flashes of Claire being put into at least a cell, if not a hole. I don't know if we saw her go down. We didn't see her go down, did we? Yet.
No, but
she kind of looking up.
But the thing I will say about the Galus segment where they kind of showed that is that they had their interactions in two different places.
Yeah.
And I know I just put up four fingers,
okay.
But two
in the hole
places.
And
in the
attic.
Hole and then in someplace else.
So you mean in the show or in the book?
In the series.
In the show.
In the trailer that they just showed.
Yeah. Well,
but she was all disheveled.
We don't
Yeah. Galus was.
And
they
we don't
both kind of looked a little
when
dirty.
She's dancing around her little
well, that's a whole separate section.
I think that's just Galus, but who knows.
Yeah, that was just Galus. But what I was getting to is that the conversation that Galus was having with Claire was something that happened in the hole. So at first it looked like they were showing...
When she says you've been lying all along?
Yeah. Didn't that happen when they were locked up in the thieves' hole together?
I didn't think that they like had a
Well, not a fight. not to that degree. But doesn't... I mean, the whole time wasn't Galus trying to figure out where she's from?
Oh, she's trying to pump her for information. Yeah.
Pump her.
Look.
Anyway, you guys, go watch it again. Like... There's so many things you're going to catch. And if you have an opportunity to find this slow-mo version of the trailer, watch it. Because there's so many, like, split-second images that come through that are new and exciting. So, E! Online posted, and they have a spoiler section where they talk about certain shows. And Kristen Dos Santos did a spoiler section because somebody asked for Outlander Scoop. And her response was, and I quote, "Loved them hard. All you need to know, the first episode back is gut-wrenching, uncomfortable/offensive, then basically straight-up porn." Anyway.
Wait, what is that?
That was the clouds breaking through and the Holy Grail coming through.
So okay, I'm not going to say anything. Anywho,
the second episode is back. The second episode back is slower paced and odd, but an amazing setup for the third episode back, which is straight up bananas. I didn't breathe from about halfway through the episode to the end of it. Major game changers galore and something that fans who didn't read the books wouldn't think would happen so soon. So, like I said.
That kind of like, that hit a lot of people hard, like, what the what?
Yeah.
I mean, we know what's in the books, and so, I mean, people have called the books explicit and all that stuff, but I mean, each his own.
Lady porn. It's cool.
Oh, well. But reading it, we don't know what's coming in the series because we haven't obviously seen them, but we read the book. We know what is supposed to happen, at least story-wise, storyline-wise. How they adapt it is what we're all there for to see. Man, combination of her mini-spoilers with the trailer, I mean, good grief. It's going to be... I mean, it's going to be a crazy next few months. Outlander does not come back until the 4th. We know this. Everyone and their dog knows this.
I know.
But what do we have until then? We have
Black Sails, if you're interested.
Well, Black Sails. And then there's also Helix, if you watch that. And if not, you have time to watch season one, if you haven't watched it yet. And it was a very good show. And of course, that's Talsha Productions, I believe. Ron and Meryl are involved with that. Mm-hmm. And there's more. I know that.
I mean, there's also your daily life. I know you all have a lot of stuff going on.
What is that? No, but my point is, because the show starts in April, right?
Right.
But from what we understand, filming for season two also begins in late March or April. So who do they have before they start filming?
Roger.
And Brianna. So we are on still Roger watch and Bree watch. And so this is the closest. And I was talking to a friend today. Other than maybe Lord Jon, and this is like in the next year, few years, right? And think about the rest of the series. Other than Lord Jon, other than Fergus, there are a lot of semi-major characters, you know, in the rest of the thing. But as far as big-time characters, other than Lord Jon, maybe Fergus, there's not going to be like another, that I can think of, another exciting watch besides of the kind of Brianna and Roger.
Okay, I thought you were talking specifically of season two, and I was like, Lord Jon is like 16 for like
3 seconds. That's why it's good if you let me finish. Okay. Let me finish my sentence. Outside of what's coming up.
Gotcha.
Who do we have in the next 9 books? Next 9 books. Besides Lord Jon and Brianna and Roger, who are such big characters that we would have a watch.
Jocasta.
That we would have a watch for.
Jocasta.
You could have a watch for anything.
Master Raymond.
But he's not a big... He's nothing...
He's big to me. All of my favorite characters, I want to know who's going to play them.
Everyone has their own favorites. What I'm saying is there's only... Jamie and Claire are like it.
Yeah.
After Jamie and Claire, it's Roger and Bree.
No, I would
After
agree
Roger
that.
And Bree, it's Lord Jon. And maybe Fergus. Maybe. Maybe not.
You the point know is... about...
Ooh, oh, well, we already have Kizzy Ian. And... Girl, you're way too ahead. You're way too far ahead. Okay, anyway, so between now and April-ish, we're going to hopefully have our Roger and Bree. So there's exciting.
We're going to have a Roger.
Summer. You and I will never,
no,
Roger.
You and I will not. And also, I think that this is the most appropriate announcement because it's today.
Yes.
But happy birthday, Diana Gabaldone.
January 11th, 2015. We want to wish you the happiest of birthdays, and not just because obviously we love your writing and we want you to be around for a long time. That is,
oh my God. You have
selfish.
To finish the book.
Well,
I feel bad.
The series.
The series. All of them.
Yes. So happiest of birthdays, Diana, and many, many more.
Because there's many, many books and things to write that I want to read. So let's make that happen. And that is announcements, y'all. Now on to our read-along, chapter 12 of Dragonfly and Amber, entitled L'Hôpital des Anges.
Yeah.
Boom! I've been working on that for like the last 10 minutes, but anyway.
So the thought of a bear honeypot seems to...
Summer just looked at me.
So the thought of a bear honeypot seems to have been enough for Jamie to overcome part of his not wanting Claire to work at L'Hôpital, because he tells her that she can do it. He stipulates that she must take Murta as an escort.
All right, can we take 1 second to talk about, you mentioned a bear honeypot. That is not something that would ever be brought up in today's society as being a hindrance or something that would talk somebody out of anything. And I blame modern porn, but that's neither here nor there. Well, that's the reason. If it wasn't glorified in pornographic whatever, nobody would care whether or not a lady had hair down there or not. It's the truth. And if you found a modern dude who had probably had a choice, and there are some that are exceptions, but to have it be such, like, a line in the sand, like, no, because of that, and I don't want you to have that, I'm going to say you can do this other thing that I find equally horrible.
He stipulates that she must take Murta as an escort, in addition to the footman. Connie shares, Jamie has already learned a lot about being a husband married to a strong woman, and to him, maybe it's the lesser of two evils. Connie shares, weevils. Do you know that joke, SNG? I haven't actually heard that one, but I get it. That's really cute. Because she probably won't come home from the hospital with her privates plucked bare. One can only hope. So Claire goes to the L'Hôpital. We meet Mother Hildegard, who was one of my favorite figures in the books, besides Master Raymond. She is Hildegard de Gascogne, and she was in charge of the L'Hôpital. She's almost 6 feet tall, gaunt, and had a, quote, face of an ugliness so transcendent as to be grotesquely beautiful. D.G. writes, Christ was the only man from whom she might expect an embrace in return. And Connie kind of mirrors my feeling on that line. She says, I'm not sure how I feel about this. It implies that at least some nuns or religious go into those vacations, and I did not say vacation, go into those vocations because of necessity? Lack of choice and or because of ugliness. But she says, it's a great piece of writing. I agree, Connie. Gives me a little twinge. I don't know, or a tinge. I don't know. It makes me a little uncomfortable to say that. But I echo your sentiment. What do you think?
I think that it...
Maybe back then.
Maybe back then. But even today, and this is going to sound, I guess, kind of bad, but you never know what people are into. People are into all different things. And somebody you might think is not the greatest looking can find, like, the hottest dude who wants to be all up in that. So that being said, I don't know that that would be the only reason she would turn to nunnery, because there's somebody for everybody, and apparently for her it was Christ.
The concept is not lost on me. I understand what, and maybe in an era or a century where women had fewer choices, you either were married and supported by your husband.
Well, your choices were dictated by several things, though. Your choices were dictated by whether or not you came from money, whether or not, and that could be something, if you came from money, you always had a choice. Or if
you came from money, you still would likely have to marry.
No, that's what I'm saying. But you would be way more desirable regardless of your how you looked. So that wouldn't have played into it. So it just, I don't know what Mother Hildegard's background is. If she came from a family that was very heavily laden in money, then this would have been a choice for her, as opposed to, I have to do this because no one else will take me.
Her name is Hildegard de Gascogne. And typically, if you have a de, as was impressed upon me by my French teacher from Toulouse, if you have a, at least, what, hundreds of years ago, if you had a de in your name, it meant that you came from some, typically you could have come from something. Now, maybe she didn't come from money, but she, and maybe she didn't have a title, but she definitely had a de in her name. So yeah, we don't know her background. But still, my point is, in the 20th and 21st centuries, well, in the 20th century after a certain year, especially after the two world wars, as time went on, women had more of a choice, meaning education was an option. Delaying marriage and childbirth was an option. And yes, there are always more quote-unquote options 200 years ago, 100 years ago, even now, if you have money, that's never going to change. But what I'm saying is, even if you had money, you were still expected to marry and procreate.
Well, to
and you
carry didn't have, on the family name. And
well, if you're a girl, you're not going to carry on the family name. You're married into somewhere else, and you help them carry on the family name.
Right, but you also carry on the family wealth.
You'd have a dowry.
Yes.
Claire is there at the L'Hôpital, or I should say, I just said at the L'Hôpital, at L'Hôpital, with six ladies of the court and Herr Gerstmann. The Herr and the mother greeted each other, she kissing him on both cheeks. She clearly doesn't think the court ladies will last very long, and she wants to be courteous and basically get their donations and get rid of them as quickly as is politely possible.
And she does so quite effectively.
Oh, that's the best way to do it. Okay, roll up your sleeve. We're going to go take a tour. Ready? Ward 1, go. Scabies. Uh-huh. I mean,
I don't even think scabies were what turned everybody else away. It was like once they started showing like amputations pus and crap.
The ladies change into more suitable clothing and are taken on a tour of the wards. Three of them only made it through the scrofula scabies, eczema, deflections, and stinking pyemia ward before making their escape.
Pyemia. Did you look that up?
I was going to and I forgot, but then Connie looked a few things up. So Connie shares, deflections. A deflection is a, quote, flowing down of flowing matter. The online dictionary says the term is obsolete. But the stinking pyemia is a blood poisoning, septicemia, caused by the spread in the bloodstream of pus-forming bacteria released from an abscess.
Wonderful.
I'm so delicious. Glad we already had breakfast. In the next ward, they come upon an amputation and two more of the court ladies make an exit. But Mary Hawkins was still there. She's a bit green around the gills, and Claire offers to help her leave. But she herself fully intends on worming her way into the operations of L'Hôpital, and there's no way she's leaving with Mary. Thing. L'Hôpital?
The whole thing.
L'Hôpital des Anges.
Thank you.
Mary says she'll stay with Claire. Okay, Mary.
You know what, though?
Good for her.
That speaks a lot to her character, and that obviously comes up later in the book. The character of Mary Hawkins is that I think she's grossly underestimated by her family and by the people around her because of her stutter, because she's so unsure of herself.
Yeah.
I think that this is a good defining moment for her, that she wants to be thought of as greater and better than these women that melted away at the first sign of scabies.
Then Claire notices a glass vessel next to a woman on a pallet on the floor.
Oh, God, this bothered me.
Yeah, I know.
On so many levels.
Filled with urine.
Mostly the level where she puts it in her mouth.
It smells kind of sweet, and yes, she dips the tip of her finger in it. And she tastes it. It tastes sweet. Boom. She diagnoses the woman with diabetes mellitus.
Her feeling. She does, but then the Mother Hildegard comes over and goes, oh, we have a dude with a microscope that comes in like twice a week.
Microscope.
However he figures out the difference. Didn't he say he had a microscope?
He's a urinoscopist.
What does he have to figure that out?
He has like a comparison chart.
Okay, well, I'm making.
Someone who does that, though.
Correct. They have somebody who doesn't.
Not a microscope.
But he doesn't eat or drink.
You don't know.
I imagine he doesn't.
How do you think they ever called it sweet urine? Diabetes mellitus means sweet urine. How do you think they got there? They tasted
it. I'm hoping it's not him.
It's for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years, people have, well, it hasn't been called diabetes mellitus for that long, but people have known that there's a condition, sugar sickness or something like that, because it tasted sweet. She diagnoses a woman with diabetes mellitus. Her feeling at making the diagnosis, my exhilaration at having made a correct diagnosis, substantially quenched by the knowledge that there was no possible cure for diabetes mellitus in this day. The woman before me was doomed. So she's like, woohoo! And then, that's kind of awful. So that's a downer.
It is. And also that she drank that urine when she didn't need to. Because she'd already been diagnosed.
Drank, tasted.
It went in her mouth.
She did
and
not.
And it was a liquid.
Down it.
No, she didn't. I'll give you that.
It's insights and scenes like these that remind me that we romanticize the past. Some things may have been nicer, but the lack of running water, modern medicine, etc., would likely make me stay in our current time, even were it actually to be made possible, that to actually go back, if that were even a real option. What do you think? Would you go back? And if so, would it be that time or to a different time?
I would go back for sure, because they seem to be really into hairy women.
Okay, you're giving like any listener out there an idea that you're a Sasquatch. I will stick to what I already said,
which is
lack of running water and lack of modern medicine means that I would likely not go back.
Okay, fine.
Claire had to explain to the woman what the woman had, but she couldn't use the modern term. She uses the term sugar sickness. When Sister Angelique asks Claire about the diagnosis, she says that she may not last out the month. The sister says, that's what Monsieur Parnell says. Claire says, and who is he when he is at home? And I don't know why that made me laugh, but I love her flippant attitude, like, and basically, who the hell's that? And our word of the day is urinoscopist. Let's Google that. And no, let's not. I actually, in Googling it and looking around, a post from Karen Henry's Outlandish Observations came up, and she's already done that work. In her Friday Fun Facts from December 7th, 2012, she provides images of a matua, a glass vessel that was used to hold the urine, as well as a color wheel used by the urinoscopist for diagnosis. We'll link to her post in the show notes. When Claire replies to the nun's fascination at her, a woman, knowing about urinoscopy, she says, "Well, there are more things in heaven and on earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy, sister." To which the nun nods seriously. Claire kind of feels bad about that. She, quote, "rather ashamed of her facetiousness." Clonie comments, "Claire is flippant again."
I'm sorry, did you say Clonie?
I hope not. Connie comments, "Claire is flippant again, quoting Shakespeare. There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy." It's from Hamlet. This is one thing that I think you would find hard, Summer, and me too, keeping our jokes or side comments to ourselves because they could be either taken just very wrongly or they could be taken as serious, which would make me feel bad like it did for Claire here. And like certain people, it could, well, I guess Claire, it could get you in trouble or arrested for being a witch, depending on what you said. Now, we aren't healers, so we wouldn't be trying to do that most likely, but it could still...
No, I definitely have, like, foot and mouth syndrome. I've gotten better over the years.
Oh, I thought foot and mouth. I'm like, what?
No, foot Got it. And mouth. I've gotten better over the years at trying to figure out what is and isn't appropriate in certain situations as I've gotten older, and that's just being a seasoned human being. But I still have moments where I blurt stuff out and Ginger looks at me like I'm ridiculous, and she tells me I am deleting that. So, and that's happened 3 times in this episode. So, I'm sorry you will never get to know what I said, but... I'm sure it was highly inappropriate, and that's about all you need to know about that.
Then Claire conscripts. She joins up. At home later that day, she tells Jamie it was horrible with a wide smile.
Of course she did.
She mopped floors, fed people, and she changed dressings. That sounds like what I did when I was volunteering with animals more, except it was obviously with animals and not people. Diana describes L'Hôpital as a refuge for Claire. Quote, "the blunt and unsophisticated directness of the nuns and patients was a wonderful refreshment from the continual chattering intrigues of the court." Now, I had a thought about this. In other words, this is much more like her time as a combat nurse in many ways. There's her work. There's the, quote, "blunt and unsophisticated directness." Think about it. In a war zone, there's no time for much delicate talk. Orders are given, and there are lives to save. Hesitation can mean death or injury. She was groomed in such an atmosphere, and here in a somewhat similar environment, without the same dangers, though, she can work without fear for her life, but still help those who are greatly in need. I imagine it's like being around the soldiers again, in a way.
Oh, for sure.
What do you think?
She likes to be useful, and I think that being dressed up and being made pretty and basically being arm candy for Jamie and or anyone who wants to look at her in the French court is probably very tedious for her because she's like, I'm an instrument. I'm an instrument of good and or evil, depending on how you use me, but I'm an instrument. And for you to put me in a pretty red dress with my boobs hanging out is not the most effective use of my time. So I can see that being pretty for Jamie's benefit and for the benefit of their cause is not something that speaks to her.
It doesn't fulfill her.
No, of course not.
So Mother Hildegard took her time to make up her mind about Claire. She didn't speak with her much, and she observed her throughout the day. What do you think about that? The fact that she's kind of standoffish, but not rude, just
Mother Hildegard.
Watch, yeah.
I mean, I think that honestly, I think that that's in her best interest to be that way. You think about all the ladies who...
Oh, yeah.
Who Herr Gerstmann brings that are probably, like, gone in 30 seconds. She probably created that test. Like, I'm going to take you through the most disgusting ward that I own. And if you make it through that, you're probably okay to stay. Otherwise, you need to go because I don't have time to waste on your frilly nonsense.
Your frilly nonsense. Oh, for the ladies. Yeah,
that makes sense.
And then we meet Bouton.
Bouton. Who can I say I always imagined differently as a different type of dog? And then I read it again a couple days ago and I was like, oh, he's that kind of dog? Really? Because in my brain, he's always been like a little scraggly pug dog. And I don't know why. That's what I imagine. Probably like the dog from Pocahontas. That's owned by like the British guy.
Yeah.
The bad guy. His little pug dog.
So he's a small white dog that looked like a cross between a poodle and a dachshund.
Totally not a pug.
Okay, pause for a second. No,
I'll pause
for a second. I looked up this cross, and yes, they exist. They are called Doxy Poos. Oh, no. This is like a five-minute segment.
Oh, my God. Let's go get one.
This is a five-minute segment coming up here.
Okay, we can do that, but can we just say, did you see how much they cost online?
No.
I'm going to Google it.
They are called Doxy Poos or Doodles. I also came across some wonderful names of other crosses with poodles. I've heard of the Cockapoo, but I had never heard of the Hoodle, a Wheaton Terrier Poodle hybrid, or a Shih-Poo.
I've heard of that.
Or a Pouchon.
How about a Labradoodle?
Yeah, but that everyone's heard of that.
A Golden Doodle?
I haven't. That's cute. And I looked, I'm like, okay, there's some pictures. Oh, that's kind of cute. And I was trying to just find a picture of one, and we'll put up one picture of the doodle. And then I saw this. But wait, there's more. There's a BuzzFeed article, or whatever you want to call them, that says, awesome poodle mixes that you didn't know existed. Okay, for real. Get ready. Saint Berdoodle. The Bernadoodle.
Okay, can we just take a minute? Let's just take a minute. Are we talking like a standard poodle mixed with the St. Bernard? Because otherwise, I'm imagining like a teeny tiny toy poodle with a giant St. Bernard, which does not compute.
No, I think they're all big.
Okay.
Unless it's a smaller dog, it would be a smaller poodle. Let me get through the list. St. Berdoodle. Bernadoodle.
Is that like a Bernese Mountain Dog? Burmese Mountain Dog?
A Bassetoodle.
That seems pretty standard.
A Dalmadoodle.
A what? Like a Dalmatian mixed with a poodle.
A Bichpoo.
Okay, a Bichon Frise mixed with a poodle.
A Bassipoo.
A Basset mixed with a poodle.
A Lassipoo.
A Lhasa Apso mixed with a poodle.
A Chi-Poo.
A Chi-Poo? Chi.
And they're tiny.
They're tiny? A Chihuahua mixed with a poodle. Okay.
A Cavapoo.
Cava. Like a King's Cavalier Spaniel mix of the poodle?
I think so.
Oh my god, I'm awesome at this. Keep going.
An Eskapoo.
Like an Eskimo dog mixed with the poodle?
I don't know if they're called that, but I think so.
Okay.
A Flan Doodle.
Some sort of a Flemish something mixed with the poodle?
Okay. A Foodle.
A Foodle?
Yeah, that one. I don't remember that one.
What goes with the F?
I don't know.
Oh.
A Giant Schnoodle.
Like that's a giant schnauzer mixed with a poodle.
A Great Danoodle.
Oh, okay, that's a Great Dane mixed with a poodle, and I want one right now.
A Jackapoo.
A Jackapoo? Okay, a Jack Russell Terrier mixed with a poodle, okay.
That reminds me of Jackalope.
I know.
Keep going. A Peek-a-poo.
That's a Pekingese mixed with a poodle.
A Pooshie.
Pooshie?
It must be, I think it's a reverse of a Shih-Poo.
Like a sheepdog?
A Shih Tzu, I think.
Oh, a Shih Tzu. Okay, I got you. Shih Tzu.
And this one is just kind of silly because it's so easy. A Weimar Doodle.
A Weimaraner mixed with the poodle.
Okay, so that was the list. And I thought, Diana totally researched this. She has dachshunds. And I wonder if that was part of her inspiration for Bouton.
Oh my god, I want one.
That's a
pug, but I totally want one.
Rough, kinky coat whose fringes fluttered along the edges of a wide belly and stumpy bowed legs. This little guy doesn't look like he has bowed legs, but I do like, he's very sweet looking. Look at his eyes, Summer. They're almost eerie. They almost look like...
He looks very wise. Look at this one.
I wonder if Diana had ever had a Dachshund-poo.
This one looks like a straight-up Dachshund-poo. Like, if I picked a Dachshund-poo, this one was like heavy on the Dachshund and like light on the poo. Dear Google, you are endlessly amazing to me. I can type anything in there and you just show me pictures of it. It's amazing. Think about where you were 10 years ago. You couldn't have done this.
Done what? Read just that list?
Just been like, I want to look. What does a Dachshund-poo look like?
Oh, I thought you meant on the podcast. You know what I mean? Like in life, you couldn't look something up like that. Yeah,
no. Look how amazing this is.
It is.
It's so amazing.
He was considered, the dog, by the nuns, something between a dishcloth and a totem.
Okay, this is what I think he looks like. Kind of raggedy, because he kind of looks like nobody wants to have anything to do with him.
Yes, but if the picture that we have here were not clipped, he might be raggedy.
Or like that one. Like way more scraggly. Like not like, he's wise clipped. And taken care of.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to imagine that particular dog, which you should totally link.
I will.
Link on our page so that they can see this picture we're looking at. Kind of like that, but he's almost too clean and too put together. Like, I would give that dog way more credit than they're giving Bouton.
He's more of a Dachshund-poo than a Bouton. Claire decides that he's mother's familiar, which I think makes perfect sense.
Oh, for sure. Considering the company she's been keeping, that does not compute with me.
Mother or Claire?
Claire. Considering her experiences in the past and the friends she's been keeping, it does not surprise me that she's imagining other people having familiars.
Yes. Connie shares, A familiar is short for a familiar spirit or a familiar animal, is an animal-shaped spirit or minor demon believed to serve a witch or magician as a domestic servant, spy, and companion, in addition to helping to bewitch enemies or to divine information. So that last part is pretty good, because he sits there and like sniffs out infection and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
For real.
Claire describes his behavior, his helping Mother Hildegard, jumping on beds and barking, etc. The case of the man with the broken leg, the dog found a spot of an infection that Claire and the others did not. He definitely has talent, this wee dog. When Mother Hildegard says, "A la bouche," which literally means to the mouth, the man's reaction is priceless. Could you imagine being sick with fever and suddenly a dog's face is inches from your own? I'd think I was having hallucinations.
For real, though. If I'm
Have
not
you ever hallucinated
a
fever?
Dog in my face?
No. Yes, specifically, have you ever hallucinated a dog in your face?
No.
And I'm only interested in
no, I have never,
in about fever, not other hallucinations.
I have never had a hallucinatory fever. Okay.
Period.
Like the longest, the highest fever I've ever had was like 103.9, which was just shy of them putting you in an ice bath, and I was not hallucinating.
Where were you?
I was in like Podunk, North Carolina.
Okay, thought so. When the dog was sniffing around and goes to the groin a few times, Claire thinks, "Well, what else? He is a dog after all." I didn't catch it the first read through. I was like, I missed that one. Okay, so get ready to maybe close your ears.
Don't tell me what I'm going to do.
I'm not telling you what you're going to
do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do regardless.
And I'm saying I'm getting you ready for grossness coming up.
I've read the book. I know what's coming.
No, you don't know what I'm going to say.
You're going to mention like pus and like splinters and crap.
Yes.
All right, go.
All the talk about pus.
Okay, wait. Can we just say for 1 second how smiley Ginger is right now? Getting ready to talk about like pus and splinters. She got really, really excited.
That's funny. Okay, so all the talk about pus. It's kind of gross, right? Okay. There was an episode of Alaska, The Last Frontier, where the Kilchers have a cow that had a massive abscess. And they needed to lance it. They had to use like some kind of big knife because the hide was so tough. So they do it. And I swear, Summer, gallons of pus come out. Not just come out, projectile across the area. It was one of the grossest things I've ever seen and one of the best. The only comparable thing I've seen is on a dog who also had a wound abscess. I was helping restrain him when he was at the vet, and the vet was going to lance it. And this thing had blood and pus coming out for so... It wasn't as much as the cow, obviously, but he had blood and pus come out for so long, we were literally almost crying ourselves with laughter because it just wouldn't stop. And this poor dog's chin and jowl area was just... The dog was great. He didn't complain. And it didn't hurt him. You know, he may have felt some relief or not, but, you know, it was all dead tissue, so it wasn't painful necessarily. But, I mean, it's gross, but it's one of those things where you can't look away. It was so enthralling. Okay, you're like, that's disgusting, sure. But I have to watch.
It's true. But the larger the animal, you have to understand, the more pus is going to be present.
I know, but it was, maybe it was pints. It was, next time the episode comes on, I'll show you.
No, forget that. Let's just put it this way. Singly, as a person, as an individual...
Human?
It doesn't even matter. Privately, like one person, like if it's just you on your own and there aren't people judging you and what's going on. If you're popping something that's pus-filled and it's like way more going on in there than you imagined ever possible, part of you is like, hell yeah, look at that. I just made that much pus.
No, that I would never think that. If it were on me, I would probably,
But, you got to see it through. When you start you got to see it through. Like, if you find a pocket of whatnot, you got to see it through to
the end. I've never had a pocket of whatnot, but I know what you're saying, though. I agree.
Well, then you need to try harder and spend a little more time in the dirt.
Ew.
Just saying.
I get wounds? No, thanks. She tells Mother that she's with child and continues to work until it's time to leave. Back at home, Connie writes, Jamie has adopted a stray. She comes home to Jamie lying on the carpet and a small boy sitting on the floor beside him. He's playing bilboque or cup and ball with a boy. Yes, that's correct. It's called cup and ball. Connie writes, the King of France, Henry III, threw the cup and ball fashion during his reign from 1574 to 1589. He loved to play during his walks surrounded by cute court favorites. It is thanks to him that the cup and ball game became fashionable. So we learned that his name is Fergus. The lad was possibly...
No. His name is Claudel.
Oh, I'm not...
Say it in a French accent.
I'm not there yet.
Claudel. Is that not, how you would say that?
Not there yet.
Ugh, I want to be there.
The lad was possibly 9 or 10, but small for his age and fine-boned as a ferret, with pale, sallow skin and big, dark eyes of a Parisian street child. Okay, reference number 2. You know what I thought of immediately, right? The street urchin?
Gaston? No, it's not Gaston. It starts with a G, though.
Yeah.
Hang on. Give me 2 seconds.
Dun, 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 dun,
you're not,
dun.
You think you're helping, but you're not.
I'm trying to put you
in
the mood.
But you're not. And I know who it is. Just give me a second. Gavroche.
Yes, thank you. So we have lovely
Don't
ladies
try to lead
and
my brain around.
I'm not. I'm trying to help you. His name,
That's
though.
That's what you're doing. You're leading my brain. I don't need it.
His name is really Claudel. Jamie says.
Claudel? Because I think it's Claudel.
But we decided that didn't sound very manly, so he's to be called Fergus instead. There you go.
Seriously, Jamie, the next male animal that I buy and or own is going to be Fergus.
Jamie has hired Fergus to pickpocket for him to get letters. We learn of the Earl of Mar and Thomas Sheridan, Prince Charles' tutor. Meanwhile, Jamie had used his butterfingers to untie one of Claire's stockings, and she was trying to pull it back up. She notices Fergus's lack of reaction. This is our first clue as to his background. Fergus apparently... hardened to the sign of female limbs, ignored me altogether, concentrating grimly on the bilboquet. Jamie makes a guarantee that has consequences for the entire rest of the series. He will pay Fergus to steal letters for him with money, clothes, and lodging. If he's caught, he'll get him out of jail if he can. If he can't, or if he loses a hand or ear, then he will maintain him the rest of his life. If he's hanged, he will have masses said for his soul for a year. He ends it with, I think that's fair, no? Claire
But not
says,
to Jesus Christ.
Claire says, I feel a cold hand pass down my spine. Jamie tells her he found him in a brothel.
That's where I find all my children
exactly, that I
employ.
And she says, of course, she says, to be sure. Jamie has an extreme sensitivity to being followed, and he felt it that day. He had dodged some of his followers, and he could tell that they were sailors when looking back at them. They went ahead, and he thought he may have ditched them, but he saw another one. So he bought a sausage. He was hiding in an alley, right? And he bought a sausage.
A hard sausage, like the hardest sausage ever.
As you do. A Dunedin sausage. 18 inches long, as hard as seasoned oak wood. Jamie follows his instincts again and dived down, saving himself from an attack. He bops the attacker with the sausage. Again, we get a little bunny foo-foo. As he ran from his pursuers, he began to push on doors until he found one that opened. And the one that did was to a brothel. Claire says, I see. I trust that you didn't draw your sword in there. Jamie replies, I'll leave it to you, Sassenach, to imagine what it feels like to arrive unexpectedly in the midst of a brothel in possession of a vet-at-large sausage. Further into
Wasn't
the brothel...
Wasn't he always in possession of a very large sausage? I like to think.
Further into the brothel, he had seen Fergus looking up at him. He asked the boy for the nearest exit. I did not want to be having to fight for my life with a lot of naked women getting in the way, he says. So Fergus showed him the way out, and they both left. Jamie is still, even afterward, upon reflection, not able to think who his pursuers were. He says it was straight out murder they meant. And the only person he can think of who's threatened him was the Comte. They talked about motive, his business, the Patagonia, etc. Jamie very indelicately says, why me come to that? It's you annoyed him, Sassenach. Why not kill you if that's what he meant? And Connie writes, gulp. Gee, thanks for that thought, Jamie. As my thoughts exactly.
However, ever the pragmatist.
Oh, absolutely. I mean. And they go down for a rich dinner of 18-inch sausage.
Sexy.
This is a chapter with some kind of sexual imagery, literally the brothel and figuratively the 18-inch sausage, but juxtaposed against the nuns, priceless.
Like, for real. You start the whole thing off with, like, the nunnery and, like, clean nonsense, and you end it with, like, so much innuendo about sausage that you just can't even, like, fathom it. So that, y'all, is chapter 12.
L'Hôpital des Anges?
Yes! Okay. Next week, we will be covering chapter 13, entitled A Delightfully Entitled Deceptions. This takes very little skill for me to pronounce. So Deceptions next week.
Thank you so much for listening. We are excited to see what news the next few weeks may bring. And we continue on our Roger and Bree watch, as everyone is. And yes, we hope that you will join us again. Thank you so much for listening.
Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at OutlanderPod. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/OutlanderPod. Or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com. I dreamt it last night.